I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, a little after the Civil War. Actually the 1950s, but the principle is the same, because growing up in that part of Virginia, Tidewater, womanhood was sacrosanct. A woman was a sort of a goddess. Every woman was Ms., not MS, but M-I-Z-Z, you know. Ms. Johnson, do you need some more tea? Richie, go get Ms. Williams a chair over there, you know, and everything you had to do for them, you know, open doors, pull in chairs, all of that. And they were these ethereal beings that just seemed so distant to me. And in fact, the only experience I had with girls up to that point was maybe third or fourth grade, you know, in the cafeteria, when it would be, I would say, you know, are you going to have that peanut butter sandwich? No. Okay. And that was it. And then at age 12, when I was just about to encounter girls on my own as a teenager in high school, you know, can I carry your book, Susie? I was plucked from that environment to Cranbrook School for Boys in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, a boys' school only. The teachers were men. The only women there were the women who worked in the kitchen from a remote country in Eastern Europe, I wasn't sure, and then the teachers' wives, they were a bit severe. So that was it. No girls, none at all. There was a girls' school, Kingswood School for Girls. It was about 2 miles away, and in between were moats and dogs and, you know, guns, and one guy almost made it, but... And so my whole exchange were with boys. So my social skills were developed with conversations like, hey, nice zit. And who farted? That was, you know, that prepared me for the rest of my life. But once a year, they would bring the girls from Kingswood in a bus, a yellow bus. And we would have a dance in our dining hall. They moved the tables away. And so there it was. And we had a band, which was probably a kazoo, knowing how cheap they were. And, you know, you were actually allowed to come up and talk to a girl and maybe touch her hand. Anything higher, you know, there was an electric current that would go through you. And then they were gone. They were gone. Then they vanished, and you just thought, did I dream this? And you could hardly have a conversation with them. So that's my experience after 5 years. Graduating from Cranbrook School, 52 students in the graduating class, going to the University of Michigan, 40,000 students. So I went to a dorm, and it was co-ed, meaning back then, girls on one side, boys on one side, and a wall in the middle, which literally had an alarm on it. Did you dare open it? Not like today, where, you know, I take my daughter to college, there's some guy in boxer shorts in there, you know? So. You never saw them, you didn't see them, except there were common rooms where you could go down, like the cafeteria. So it was September, and Ann Arbor was still warm, and I remember going down there for the first time and seeing all these girls in shorts and t-shirts with hair, you know? And you know, I'd never had a conversation with a girl. I didn't know what they felt. I didn't know if they felt all the emotions that I felt, like anger and jealousy and envy and or anything. They were just walking around, and I felt like, you know, if I got up a little close, something bad would happen. Anyway, I went to the line in the cafeteria, and there was a girl right in front of me, and she was tall, blonde, leggy. I mean, they're just leggy. It just kept going, and just beautiful. So she was going down the cafeteria line. She had a tray and a plate, and she was just piling it on. Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, vegetables, dessert, couple of drinks. And I thought, you're a girl. You can't eat like that. It's not right. Anyway, so she went to a table, and I sat across from her. This was the first conversation I'd had, really, with a girl unattended. And I think it went something like, and she looked at me, just stared at me. So she was eating away, and she stopped and looked at me, this beautiful girl, and she just looked at me. And I thought, oh my God, I'm gonna have some kind of an interchange here. And she took her fork like this, and she said, if you're not gonna eat those mashed potatoes, can I have them?
It's a doggone shame that they couldn't. all be mine. Looking so pretty, it's a doggone pity. Oh, looking so fine. Look out, brother, let me get